Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're always glad that you've joined us.
You know, Dr. Linda, one thing we are always talking about is our fantastic audience.
They are great.
It's so fantastic each weekend to join you and be with you. We have an important show today.
We do.
We need every parent and grandparent to listen and learn and know how to respond to a big problem that is facing our teens and our young adults.
You know, Chris, just in a time in our culture where we've made some gains around nicotine addiction from smoking cigarettes, we're now having a whole new way to hook kids on nicotine. It's called vaping and the use of e-cigarettes. And so while smoking has gone down among teens overall, you know, so we don't have it the high rates that we used to have with tobacco use, the overall tobacco use has remained steady because of vaping. It's become much more common, and it's being used in the ways probably it wasn't intended to be used when it was first introduced. Most people, though, Chris, don't know how dangerous this trend is and how it's creating a whole new generation of nicotine addicts. You know, I've added vaping and e-cigarettes to the medical school lectures that I give because this is really being marketed to teens. The student doctors of today are going to be dealing with these kids who are hooked in the very near futures. It's becoming an epidemic with a new generation of smokers. They're not smoking as much cigarettes, but they're vaping more.
And you know, Dr. Linda, as we talk about how popular this trend is becoming, there are clothing lines designed to conceal vaping devices with special pockets on the inside and celebrity endorsements. You hear about that. And then these vaping devices have fruity and candy-like flavors that attract teens.
Yeah, and so those flavors are really the lure. A big draw for teens is the huge variety of those flavors that they see marketed to them. So flavors like gummy bear, berry lush, frozen lime drop, watermelon, those are just a few that are out there. And many teens are also intrigued by the vape tricks that they can do with vapor. So all these enticing names like Do the Dragon, Do the Waterfall, Vapor Bubble, and the Tornado. And for teens that are really interested in learning those tricks, they can go to YouTube and they can see the how-tos with those videos. So there's a lot of marketing to teens.
Vaping doesn't cost that much. A vape starter kit can be bought online for under $30. And despite regulations that say you must be 18 years old to purchase a vape pen or the e-juice, it doesn't seem to be stopping teens. And most importantly, teens are likely to use or at least try e-cigarettes because they're convinced that this is the key. They think they're safe.
Yeah, so really great points here that you have to be 18 years or older. But what we're seeing is that people way under 18 are using these devices. And the National Institute for Drug Abuse took a poll of teenagers, and they found that many teens just don't know exactly what they're inhaling. So you said they think they're safe. They don't even know what they're doing, what's inside of those pods that they're using. In the poll, 66% thought it was just flavorings. 13.7% had no idea what they were vaping. And another 13% thought, well, maybe it's nicotine. 5% thought it was marijuana, and another 1% said, I don't know, something else. I guess, I don't really know what I'm vaping. So, Chris, it's just my opinion, but I really believe that the idea here is to hook these teens and tweens early on, since the teen brain is so vulnerable to addiction, and you have a new tobacco market for life. So I'm a little skeptical in terms of the people who are marketing these products. If they can get teens exposed to the marketing early on, teens tend to stay with brands that they know and that they see. So they use attractive packaging, colors, flavors, and there is a common perception, like you said, that these are harmless thanks to the deception on the internet. So in my opinion, this is really shameful. And it's a way to get nicotine into the vulnerable brains of preteens and teenagers. Because once you're exposed to an addictive substance like nicotine, it completely changes the brain and it makes you more susceptible to other addictions.
You know, this sounds like what we saw with cigarettes back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
It's exactly the same.
You know, according to the National Institute of Drug Abuse, under FDA regulations designed to protect the health of young Americans, minors can no longer buy e-cigarettes in stores or online. But look at all the underage kids who smoke.
I did see some recent regulatory sort of proposal that maybe it should bump the age up to 21. But think about it. The brain doesn't stop really developing until 25. So you're putting addictive substances into the brain. You're changing the brain and rewiring the brain. But the FDA does now regulate the manufacture, the import, the packaging, the labeling, the advertising, the promotion, the sale, and the distribution of e-cigarettes. So in order to purchase, like you said, you have to be 18, supposedly. You have to have a valid photo ID. And the flavored e-cigarettes can be sold and purchased by consumers that are 18 years or older. The FDA does require that all e-cigarettes must be sold with a warning that says, warning, this product contains nicotine. So they didn't even have those before. So parents, you need to be aware that it is illegal to sell e-cigarettes to anyone under the age of 18. If you discover that your child is using them, it may be worth finding out where they're purchasing or getting them. If a child is buying products from a shop, parents, remind the shopkeeper. The law says you're not supposed to be doing that, and I would even say report that retailer to the Trading Standards Department of their local authority.
Well, before we get too far into this subject, we're talking about vaping, sort of a new word in the vernacular these days. What exactly is vaping?
Vaping is inhaling a vaporized, heated, usually a nicotine-containing liquid. It was originally designed to help people quit smoking e-cigarettes. I think we all heard of that when it first came out, right? This was supposed to be a way to help people get off of cigarettes. But it can include e-pens, e-pipes, e-hookah, and e-cigars. So these are known as ENDS, electronic nicotine delivery system ENDS.
See, e-mail is one thing. Now we're getting into these addictive things with e-cigarettes and e-hookahs and that type of thing.
So according to the FDA, e-cigarettes are devices that allow users to inhale an aerosol container, which has usually nicotine in it or some other substance. And here's the problem. It is not being used exclusively to help people quit smoking. That's what we've been saying. It's being introduced, as we've been talking about, to teens and others as a cool fad and with the false notion that it's harmless. So the U.S. Surgeon General has concluded that the e-cigarettes can expose users to a lot of harmful chemicals, and that's what teens don't seem to get. So not only nicotine, but there's a whole bunch of carbonyl compounds and a whole bunch of volatile organic compounds. The problem is, Chris, when you heat these chemicals, they become toxic.
Wow.
Researchers from the University of California, San Francisco, challenged the idea that e-cigarette vapor is safe. They have found out that teens who are using e-cigarettes are in danger of inhaling, now listen, parents and grandparents, cancer-causing chemicals, especially in those fruit flavors.
Amazing. Well, you know, parents and grandparents may have not heard of the word Juul. I know you wrote a blog on Juul, and the Boston Globe calls Juuling the most widespread phenomenon you've never heard of. So what is Juul?
So when we say Juul, it's J-U-U-L, because we're on radio. We need to let people know how to spell that. It's a vaping device that's really popular among middle and high schoolers. It doesn't look like an e-cigarette. It looks like a USB device. Have you seen these?
Yes, I have.
It looks just like a flash drive.
Right.
And this way, the vape can be hidden, and the smell is not like cigarettes. So you can plug it into your laptop, and you can recharge the battery.
This is a strange crossover between technology and
addictive
devices.
I know, isn't it? A terrible way to deliver nicotine to kids.
I understand that this is such a problem that some school campuses have banned flash drives of all things.
Yeah, because when you're using this little device, the vapor cloud is really small and it goes away really fast, so the teachers don't even notice it. Research from the Truth Initiatives shows that 25% of 15 to 24-year-old Juul users refer to the behavior as Juuling.
Right.
So when you hear that phrase, parents and grandparents know what they're talking about.
And add to the attraction, we've already talked about the fact that these are marketed with sweet flavors, mint, fruit flavors, mango, cucumber, etc. It's in the juice that is in these pods.
But all the Juul, if it's a Juul pod, it does have nicotine. And each pod contains the same as a pack of cigarettes or 200 puffs, meaning it's more than double of most of the other vaping products. That means in 5 weeks, it's the same as a teen smoking 100 cigarettes. The FDA says it's just as harmful as cigarettes.
Well, this is a dangerous trend among teens and young adults in this country. We're talking about vaping and what you need to know. More on this topic today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Social media can be a real source of jealousy in our culture. It's so easy to be envious of a friend's fitness progress, a family member's new car, or a colleague's promotion. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I know I'm not the only one who plays the comparison game on social media. But if our self-worth is measured in the number of hearts our Instagram gets, we're missing the point, big time. Instead of obsessing over the number of thumbs up you get, ask yourself, are my actions worthy of a thumbs up from God? I promise you, He doesn't care what your outfit of the day is, or if you're drinking your first Starbucks red cup of the season. God already gave you a double tap when He knit you in your mother's womb. And the only filter we need is Christ Himself, who erases our imperfections and makes us holy. Having lots of followers is great, but remember, God asked us to follow Him first. And you can tweet that. Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and just a reminder that you can follow Dr. Linda on social media at Dr. Linda Mental, and social media is a great way to keep up with Dr. Linda's speaking and writing on relationships. In fact, there are lots of great tweets each week about our show topic. And there is a blog on juuling, if you want more information specifically on that. I understand that was one of your highest read blogs when you published it.
It's the one that has actually gotten the most hits of any article I've ever written.
It's an alarming topic, and we are discussing that today on the program. And speaking of juuling and vaping and this type of thing, kids are disappearing from class longer periods of time and having vaping sessions during school. A Georgetown University pediatrician, Dr. Kirsten Hawkins, says it's rampant among our high school and middle school age population. Many of her patients are already addicted to nicotine.
So sad to me. She also reported that one 12-year-old said he was bullied into trying it. His siblings and his friends bullied him into it. He did not realize the risk associated with a nicotine assistance device. He didn't really know what it was. He was just bullied into doing it. And, Chris, that's the problem. Kids are being exposed to nicotine and other harmful carcinogens from the heated flavorings. Teenagers need to be warned that the vapor that's produced by the e-cigarettes is not harmless water vapor either. It actually contains some of those toxic chemicals found in smoke from traditional cigarettes. So I think we're just not very knowledgeable about this whole thing. They're not inhaling air. They're inhaling products that have toxins in them.
You know, another study published in the journal Pediatrics found that e-cigarettes use is more likely to encourage youth smoking than to divert youth from smoking.
Yeah, so these aren't people that have a nicotine problem to begin with and they're using this to reduce their consumption. These are kids who are starting for the very first time getting exposed to nicotine. And the team in that study found that those who had ever used e-cigarettes were significantly more likely than people who never have smoked to then go on to smoke. So this is not a good thing that we're experiencing.
Well, let's talk more about the possibility of addiction. How does doing this impact a teen's chance of getting addicted?
It's not good. Even low levels of exposure to this with teenagers, and this has to do with the immaturity of the brain. The brain just gets addicted much quicker when you're a teenager. So even low levels of consumption can lead to addiction. And the problem is, again, when the chemicals are vaporized in these devices, they become toxic. Vaping produces these gases that can damage and they can kill cells. They're not harmless. This is the message. They're safer than cigarettes, but that doesn't mean that they're safe.
That's the thing. Some kids are saying that they're using non-nicotine vapes and argue that those are safe. But most teens are under the impression that it's completely safe to inhale the, quote, harmless nicotine-free water vapors. That's not really true.
It isn't true. And there are more studies that are being done on this since vaping's become so widespread, so we need a lot more research on this. The researchers so far have found that the chemicals in e-cigarette liquid, those flavorings that the kids are talking about. And the aerosols, the way it's delivered, is simply toxic. And according to the FDA, inhalation of certain chemicals, they're complicated chemicals to pronounce, but a lot of those that are found in the flavoring agents are known to have a lot of problems with things like respiratory disease. In fact, the American Lung Association claims that when inhaled, some of these compounds can cause what some people might know as popcorn lung, which is a very serious condition. It's a scarring of the tiny air sacs in the lungs, resulting in the thickening and the narrowing of airways. You know, it doesn't sound very threatening, but in actuality, popcorn lung can mirror the symptoms of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which most people know as COPD. And so you have symptoms of wheezing, coughing, and shortness of breath. And currently, Chris, there's no standard regarding the safety level of the inhalation of some of the chemicals in these devices that people are using to vape.
So disturbing.
I know. Isn't this sad?
What's worse is if you Google non-nicotine vaping, you'll see lots of blogs that say this is safe.
I know, and I did this, and I couldn't believe how many of those were pro using the non-nicotine flavors. But you have to look at who's sponsoring those articles, and the sponsors of those sites are vaping companies and people who advocate for vaping. But if you go to the science sites, which is the ones I went to, you get a whole different picture. The supposedly harmless flavorings are not harmless. Those flavorings are approved by the FDA when you eat them, when you swallow them, right? Hmm. But when you heat them, the chemical nature of those flavorings change, and they produce gases and chemicals that are actually harmful. So one of the things I want you to hear, parents and grandparents, the vapors impact the immune system. They cause the teens to end up with smoker's cough because of vaping, and sometimes even bloody sores in their mouth. Plus, a relatively new vaping trend that causes serious concern is something called dripping, which involves manually dropping e-cigarette liquid directly onto the hot coils of the vaping device to produce a more flavorful, thicker smoke and a stronger hit. So 1 in 4 high school teens who use e-cigarettes have admitted to trying this really potentially new vaping method. There's so much here that's problematic from a health perspective, and I don't want to bore our listeners with a lot of studies, but the bottom line is these are not safe devices, with or without nicotine, and your teen could be damaging his or her lungs, heart, and even be at risk for cancer. So don't believe what you read on the internet.
Definitely. And one other problem is that teens often share these devices because of the different flavors. So if you take one of these from your friend, you may not know that you're getting a nicotine-free vape or not.
That's so important, and you don't know what you're getting. And remember, if it's a Juul, if it's the USB device, you're getting nicotine.
And as if things couldn't get any worse, we need to inform parents and teens that a vape can contain marijuana, too.
Mm-hmm.
So as a parent, you have no idea what is actually being vaped. So we know vaping can cause nicotine addiction, but you can get psychologically hooked as well.
You can. So when something becomes something you do with your friends or by yourself and you enjoy it, you're going to get into the habit of vaping. You know, your curiosity might get the best of you, and then you try a nicotine pod to check it out. So it can become something you continue to do, and this makes it easy to add the nicotine. Teens think it looks mature, they think it looks cool, something that they can do that makes them look more like an adult.
We mentioned this earlier. This is such a strange flashback to cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, does this lead to tolerance and needing more just as if you were smoking a cigarette?
Yeah, it actually does because of the nicotine. So nicotine is highly addictive, and it's really difficult to quit. No matter how the nicotine is delivered, you can develop tolerance and dependence just like you can with cigarettes.
That's amazing. And today we're talking about vaping and what you need to know and how this affects our teenagers and our young adults. More on this subject on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
The news these days is full of so many sad, depressing, or downright frightening things that cause us to go through our days with frowns on our faces and a cloud over our hearts. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I've got a suggestion for you to help ward off the heaviness that you might be feeling. The Bible is clear. Laughter does good like a medicine. One clear antidote for heaviness is to increase the laughter in your life. While my friend was battling cancer, she made it a regular habit to watch all the wonderful old comedy movies she could find. Laughing with her husband allowed them both to enjoy a rush of endorphins and precious moments together. Now, I'm not telling you that laughter alone will solve everything, but it will clear out the gloom. Reading God's word and living in his promise is our best armor. But having a good laugh every day will help keep your focus off those things you can't control. It'll cut down on your wrinkles and increase your trust in the God who rules your world and the world around you.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mentals Show, and don't forget you can check out Dr. Linda's blogs and her books at her website, drlindamental.com. Today we're talking about the dangers of vaping and e-cigarettes, especially among teen users. And we hope this program is informing you because there is a lot of misinformation on this topic. And Dr. Linda, what should a grandparent or parent look for if they suspect that a teen is vaping? I mean, there's no smoke, there's minimal odor involved with this, and the vapor disappears quickly, so it seems like it might be hard to detect.
Yeah, so teens who vaped are more likely to have persistent cough, bronchitis, congestion, and phlegm than those who are not vaping. So you want to look for wheezing that is not related to some other health condition, such as bronchitis or asthma. You want to look for dry cough, shortness of breath, or difficulty breathing, especially when they're doing physical activity, because a teenager shouldn't be having that problem. Or some kind of unexplained exhaustion, maybe rapid breathing, persistent skin, eye, mouth, or nose irritation if it's caused by a chemical, because that's what chemicals can do. And then vaping marijuana can result in bloodshot eyes, dry mouth and thirst, increased appetite, and shifts in a person's mood. And then there's another one that you can see, and that's sensitivity to caffeine that sometimes develops.
I've heard of another phenomenon involved with this called vapor's tongue. What exactly is that?
Vapor's tongue is a condition where the person vaping experiences a diminished experience of the flavors during vaping, as if the ability to taste were dramatically reduced or diminished. So the condition can last from 1 to 3 days. The term vapor's tongue was coined because so many of the people who were vaping suffered from this sort of, it was like a deadening of the flavors. And they didn't like that. And they noticed that their tongue felt as if it had suddenly become thickened and coated, and insensitivity was developing. So the best thing you can do is just stop vaping.
You know, it seems odd that with all we know about smoking, that anyone would want to pick this up and jeopardize their health. But we see vape shops all over communities.
Don't we? Even in small towns.
They are. They're everywhere. Why are we doing this when it appears we are going to have even more health problems with this?
So I think you should go on and ask that question to everybody you know. Why are we doing this?
Right.
I think one reason, you know, it started was to try and help people quit smoking. But the second most common reason, and this is especially true for teens who have never smoked, I think it's, you know, people are trying to boost their social image somehow. So we have to make this uncool. This has become a cool and a social thing to do. And like you said, Chris, it's a little bit like cigarette smoking a number of years ago, where people didn't realize how dangerous it was.
I think if we tell teens about their tongue stops working.
I know, that is not good. And that can happen at any moment during that. You know, sometimes it's related to the fact that friends or family members are doing it. And so people will pick it up. If your dad or mom is doing that, you might pick it up. Or you can get a buzz off of it, right, because of the nicotine. And it's an easy thing to do. It can be done indoors, not like cigarettes where you have to go outside sometimes and smoke.
I've heard that, you know, students do this in school because the vapor can disappear so quickly. And in some cases, you can't smell it. So they can hide and do this as well.
Yeah, and those flavors are really attracting kids, don't you think? I mean, we were talking in the break about what 50-year-old who's trying to quit smoking is going to be attracted to gummy bear flavor.
Right, exactly. And the belief that e-cigarettes are less harmful than other forms of tobacco, such as cigarettes, is simply not true.
Yeah.
What does the American Academy of Pediatrics say about vaping?
They've made the following recommendations. They're saying that the sale of e-cigarettes to minors, those under 18 of age, should be prohibited. And I've been seeing that there's a lot of people who want to raise that to 21. Mm. Candy and fruit-flavored e-cigarettes are encouraging youth to smoke, so they're really recommending that those be banned. And to avoid exposing others to potential harm, they think that laws should mandate smoke-free environments to include e-cigarettes and vaping. And to prevent poisoning, so this is a fact that we've not brought up, all e-liquids should be required to be sold in child-proof packaging. The use of the variety of flavors in the liquid solutions of e-cigarettes has created concern for accidental ingestion by young children.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think a good first step, and you mentioned this earlier, would be to deglamorize the use of these e-cigarettes.
Yeah, and I think that really is what we need to do. It's probably the most difficult one to do because there are television ads showing good-looking people using, you know, vapes. Children are really curious, and they probably want to try it, especially if they, you know, look in the mirror and see themselves doing this. They might think they're really cool. If you're vaping yourself, it would be really great not to do this in front of your kids so that they don't see you. That would help make it uncool. And if you have this sleek and elegant looking vape, you need to conceal it because you're just modeling for your kids. That there's like style around this. Like you mentioned the clothing.
Right.
So that like there's clothing, there's style and all this involved in it. So if you really are using this for the reasons that originally were set to stop smoking cigarettes, you need to explain that to your kids and say it's not harmless. It's just safer. And I'm not even sure it's really safer.
Right.
And I'm not sure it's been effective. I did a lecture on nicotine smoking cessation, and the evidence isn't real good that it helps people stop.
Right. Another step might be to help teens resist peer pressure. Of course, that's a continual battle. If kids are starting to vape in order to fit in with the crowd, parents need to help discourage it.
You know, you're probably going to have that conversation with your kids.
Probably, yeah.
And one way to do that is really to build their self-esteem and help them avoid bad choices. And so this goes back to, really, Chris, helping teens find their identity in Christ, knowing who they are in Christ, getting involved in their youth group and church. We really have to help teens deal with stress and find healthier ways to build interactions with their friends.
And I would think that we have to help our kids understand how important it is to take care of their own bodies.
You know, I agree with that. So 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." We really have to help teens see this with vaping, that all of us have to take care of our bodies. So the bottom line, the summary of this show is that vaping is not safe just because it's safer than smoking. It harms the body and has the potential to start a teen on an early path to addiction. So grandparents, parents, you're now informed. Share the news that you've heard on this show. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.